Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. After Curran Academia, which included terms as the first female dean of St. Peter's College at Oxford University in England, and associate professor of romantic literature at Seattle University, tonight's guest decided to return to her hometown of London, Ontario, and focus on her writing. At this year's Word Awards, Carolyn Weber's Surprised by Oxford was honored as the best published book, capturing her the prestigious Grace Irwin Award. Another of her books, Holy is the Day, was also shortlisted for the same prize. We're going to talk to Carolyn tonight, who's on the phone with us from her London home, about her love of words and these recent honors. But first, let's listen to Black Star from the Isabel Gunn CD Flesh on Steel.
In the center of the city, my swollen eyes are heavy. I can see my breath in white. The snow falls on my shoulders, standing like I'm older. There's a widow in my side. Black star.
Conversation with Carolyn Weber. Good evening, Carolyn.
Good evening. It's so great to talk with you today, Robert. Thank you.
Let's get started here. When did your love for writing begin?
Oh, my goodness. I would say early on when I was very young, very little. I loved writing from the time I was 4, 5, 6 years old. And I can remember having wonderful teachers and my mother really supporting writing stories, little stories, journals, things like that. So I'd always really enjoyed it, and then I went on to teach literature, so I've always had a great love for stories.
So when did you ever get to that point where you had something of yours published for, you know, whether that was in a school newsletter or, you know, that first time that somebody actually said, yeah, this is good enough for other people to see?
Oh, what a great question. Well, I do remember writing a little story when I was in grade one. I had just moved schools, and I did have a teacher who didn't believe I had written it, and I was really embarrassed, and I hid it away. And so I kind of put a lock on writing fiction at that point and returned to it later. But I wrote a poem I remember really distinctly in about, I think, grade 11 or so English, at South Secondary School with Mr. Ian Underhill, who was just a fantastic teacher. And it was a poem about my grandfather. It was the first time I'd really written a serious poem, and it was very, very personal to me, and it was actually a really vulnerable experience. And he loved it and was very moved by it, and had shared that more publicly, and had really, it was the first time I had an A as well that I really understood, and he had written a long response to it. So I was really moved by that.
Well, looking at that, and you talked about, you know, this Mr. Underhill and you know, your parents and the teachers. Who have been your influence as a writer? Like, who are some of the writers that you've sort of looked to over those years?
Well, I think because I grew up without a faith, I was shaped by all sorts of writers. I never read in terms of thinking about a religious outlook until much later. So I was really shaped primarily by the metaphysical poets. I really enjoyed John Donne, George Herbert, those writers when I was studying in college. I was really drawn to them at the time and drawn to their struggles with faith, even though I was not a faith-oriented person. And I really enjoyed the Romantics, Shakespeare, that sort of thing. So I was reading widely as a literature student, and Milton and whatnot. Loved them all. Loved the universal themes that they talked about and the ways that something tapped at my heart, but I couldn't discern what that was. Later, as I started looking into Christianity and eventually became a Christian myself, I realized that I think what I was drawn to was, you know, what C.S. Lewis calls the good dreams, you know, those archetypal themes that resonate with all of us because we're wired for resurrection and we have a connection with the truth that was originally fragmented, and bits of it are in all of these stories and in the enduring literature. So as I eventually became a Christian, I also became really interested in, I would say I've been really shaped by writers like Frederick Buechner, Madeleine L'Engle. I love writers who are able to work their faith into what they're doing, but also not be afraid of the big questions of doubt, of connecting art and spirituality. Marilynne Robinson's one of my favorite novelists, shaped by those sort of thinkers in particular.
As you were giving the answer, my mind started flipping to C.S. Lewis because he was strongly influenced by George MacDonald, again, someone who was a Christian, but this was in the days before Lewis himself came to faith.
You know, reading now George MacDonald to my children, particularly my daughter, MacDonald is a perfect example of someone in many ways who expresses the gospel in mythic ways, in ways that might not be overt but are entwined in the beauty of the story. Chesterton's another one of those writers. So many of those writers in that kind of group, I think two of Dorothy Sayers, many of the writers that were really able to, yes, overtly talk about theology in intellectual and meaningful ways, but also be able to talk about those larger themes in the stories they were writing as well without it being so overt, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by Lewis. You know, that's a perfect example.
Yeah, looking at that, and you're referring to all these things, and it was at Oxford that you had this life-changing experience, and your book, Surprised by Oxford, a memoir, looks at that whole conversion process, that whole conversion experience. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of how that all came about for you?
How writing the story came about then?
No, sorry, your conversion to Christianity.
Conversion, okay, because I know we were talking about writing. Yeah, well, in short, what I tried to express in that book, Robert, was how that first year at Oxford for me was really life-changing. I had grown up, as I mentioned before, really without a faith, kind of loosely Catholic, but in a family that I sort of defined in my story as, you know, loving enough to get by, but broken enough not to deserve God's attention, sort of how I put it. And my parents were divorced, and my mom was a struggling single mom, and I was busy working many jobs and things, trying to sustain a scholarship, trying to support my family, having a lot of fun and enjoying my studies, but also a lot of pressure and a lot of hard work and juggling a lot of things. And when I got to Oxford, it was the first time in my life I'd received a scholarship, a massive scholarship, a Commonwealth scholarship, and it was the first time in my life where I didn't have to work. I was able to just study. That's what they support you to do, and to think and to read. And I had had all of these nudgings, I think like we all do, these deep longings that we have, and as C.S. Lewis again says, Sehnsucht, this sort of ache that we have that is really our wiring for God. And I was able to explore that. And Oxford really presented a wonderful place. I was cynical in some ways of the Christian faith and skeptical. I would have defined myself as maybe agnostic. But being able to meet other Christians who were thinking Christians, who were able not only to answer my questions, but most importantly, to really live the gospel. They were people that were not hypocritical. They were people that I got to see how they were living out what they believed, and I had never really experienced that before. And I eventually became a Christian while I was studying there. So while I was away from home, and then came back as a non-believer. And I think that was one of the reasons the story percolated for me for a long time, telling it to students, journaling about it, thinking it over. But eventually, that sort of weight of glory that Lewis expresses of, you know, knowing and tasting God's joy and wanting to share that experience with others.
Well, I want to explore that, because that sort of leads to some of the challenges you had when you were writing Surprised by Oxford. But we need to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with writer Carolyn Weber and talk about the outcome of that, and her award as the Grace of the Grace Irwin Prize. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
She's taking down the picture frame, back away to love again. All her little dreams are in a box. She floats away to yesterday, thought that it made sense, but now it seems that she is younger than she thought. And all the city's sleeping, but Emily is lying awake. A thousand lovers dreaming, one of them has made a mistake. She's running through memory, recognize the lover's dream she's kept inside, it's dancing in her heart. And even if the sky is dark outside, for a lonely poet's wife, there's a song waiting to start. And all the city's sleeping, but Emily is lying awake. A thousand lovers dreaming, one of them has made a mistake. And we've all got our reasons for our little shames, but she's burning in the wood stove, snapping and a crackle, shooting through the evening till nobody can see them, lost into the deep sky. This is what it looks like.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Emily from the Isabel Gunn self-titled CD, Isabel Gunn. And that's from the London folk-based folk group Isabel Gunn. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with author Carolyn Weber. Carolyn, just before I went to the break, you were talking about, you know, becoming a Christian at Oxford. But when you write in Holy is the Day, which was your next book, you talk about how when you wanted to write about that experience, it had a little bit of an impact on some of the things that you were doing academically and in your career at universities. What happened to all of that in all of that area?
That's a really loaded question. I had been a professor for quite some time at various institutions, some Jesuit, some secular, and I had been counseled by different academic friends not to write a spiritual memoir, particularly a Christian one, very specifically a Christian one. I was told that that would be career suicide to publish anything about Jesus, to publish anything about my faith. And I realized that in an academic environment, I had tasted this before, but there's a lot of antagonism towards faith issues and particularly towards the name of Jesus. And so it was a little bit difficult landscape to navigate, Robert, because, you know, on one hand, you're wanting to write about your faith and wanting to be honest and forthright and hopefully do it in a respectful way, but you're also coming up against very real sort of tensions and issues when, you know, you can't be promoted for what you're writing, or you also are receiving other tensions in which you can't. You really are not encouraged to do the writing or supported to do the writing, and you're yet required to do writing for your job. Lots of ways in which I think Christians can feel isolated, particularly in academia, that we're not alert to. So there's all sorts of forms of you know, persecution. And in many ways, this is a very, very minor form given what happens in the rest of the world. But it's there nonetheless, these subtle ways in which the larger culture does not want Christians to share their stories. In many ways, if it had been, I think, writing about a different faith, it would have been completely supported. I actually had seen that happen. So there is a power that the name of Jesus has that really no one else has, I've experienced, and it really does draw a line in the sand. People either get their knickers in a knot or people are intrigued. And in academia, they tend more towards the former.
So what made you, what sort of tipped the scales in favor of you actually finally writing this? Because, I mean, Surprised by Oxford was what was the book that was awarded the Grace Irwin Award. So kind of what tipped the scales in the favor of finally writing it?
I think it was just really a good old dose of perspective and urgency. I had written a draft of the first few chapters. I had outlined it. I'd been sitting on it for a couple of years. I had been really counseled not to write it at all, or if I did write it, wait until I had tenure. And I did have tenure, and I was pregnant with my twins. And it was really the near-death experience I had in birthing my second twin, which I outline in the opening chapter to my other memoir, Holy is the Day. That was a life-changing moment for my husband and I. And, you know, after that, Robert, it was like, you know, life is too short. Fear is a sin as well. And to look in the eye where I was being hesitant, where I was not trusting, and that's when I decided, with my husband's support and prayer, to make that my sabbatical project. And so when we were away on sabbatical, that's what I decided to write.
Well, looking at that, and it's the one that that was chosen for the Grace Irwin Award. Let's go to that, and let's switch to that. You had one book that was given an honorable mention. Holy is the Day was given the honorable mention in that, and then Surprised by Oxford. What was going through your mind when you heard Holy is the Day announced as an honorable mention? I've been to Word Guild Awards before, and I know they sort of give the honorable mentions first, and then they come up with the big announcements. What was going through your mind when you heard that one was given an honorable mention?
Oh, well, I was just so moved the entire evening. I still can barely believe that both books were nominated and up there, but it was really an amazing circle of grace, you know, to have left a broken family and to have stepped into really God's redeeming me far away, and then coming back home to a place where I didn't have faith, and now being able to live here and speak about my faith here is such an immense privilege and such a circle of grace. And the whole evening, I just was incredibly moved at the Lord's intricacy in our lives, His handiwork, and His love for us. And I just, to see my book nominated up there was just incredibly powerful in terms of His testimony of faithfulness and His bringing me home in this way. So I was grateful to see both. I think when Surprised by Oxford won, that really is the book that most chronicles my journey, obviously, to my faith. And it was the one that I wrote away from home, trying to also be careful and thoughtful and prayerful about treating home. And then Holy is the Day is the one I wrote upon coming home and all the challenges and blessings there. So really to have both of them honored, particularly among those wonderful group of people and in Canada, it just was very, very poignant.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was going through your mind when you heard, like, you're talking about all this, but when you actually heard them announce Surprised by Oxford as the winner, mm-hmm. what was the first thing that went through your mind?
The first thing, gosh, it was such an overwhelming moment. Really, the first thing was just, and I really don't mean this to sound trite, but really just praise Him. I remember being moved to tears at the thought that writing a book in which I felt very, I believed in very much, was so grateful to be able to write that story, but was writing it. I literally wrote it in a little 2x4 in the back of a cottage that we were renting on sabbatical against all professional advice and and really with a lot of resistance, and with newborn young twins and no sleep, and my husband juggling things so I could write long hours hiding away, or he would drop me at Starbucks so I could write, that the Lord would bring that little story out and hopefully touch others with it. I really remember feeling just immense gratitude and immense beauty about it, and a sense of responsibility, great sense of responsibility for the gifts He gives us.
Now that you've had a little bit of time between receiving the award and now, have you had a chance to reflect on it and sort of get an understanding of what all of this means to you? It sounds like there was a sense of validation in there as well, that you followed what God wanted you to do despite what, people in the academia were saying. Mm-hmm. And that, in terms of following His path, it was, you now had this sense that, yes, this was what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. It has been a great validation. It has been a wonderful encouragement, because it really did come at a time when we all have difficulties in our paths for various reasons, but, we had left the stability of our jobs and our communities and even, my husband's country, he's American. We left all those things to come up here and be near my family and hopefully minister and write, and we tag team parents. So when I'm with the children, my husband is working on his little business that's been hard to restart up here. And when he's with the children, I'm trying to write or doing these sort of things. And it's, we have four small children and no parents that can help, our parents are ailing. So we're taking care of them. And it's been just wonderful, wonderful to be here. And it's been very, very, very difficult, as all, wonderful paths in life are. And so to have the encouragement has been wonderful, to have the welcoming into the writing community here when you can feel you're trusting in what you're doing, you're trusting in trying to follow what you believe God wants you to do, but there's the logistics of just trying to make things work. And so that's been encouraging in terms of getting things like being able to talk with wonderful people like you and being able to be involved in sharing God's joy and hope with other people in my hometown is just really such a privilege. And I think that's what's starting to sink in more and more is being able to look above the solitude of writing work and the battle to exist in many ways, and looking again at that eternal perspective, trying to lift our heads above that sort of horizon of survival and remembering really that the Lord is in control of all of this and He is faithful.
Well, on that, I'm looking at my timing here and time is fleeting here. And so what we're going to do is take a final break and come back and finish our conversation with author Carolyn Weber. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Put a nail in your hand and pull it out, and then begin to doubt it was ever there at all. You forgive, not forget what a mess bursting in my chest like all the times I've known before. Like all the times I've known before. I scream out loud, I want out, I cut you down, thorns in your crown, little blood.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Bloodstained Town from the Losing the Ground CD by Isabel Gunn. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with author Carolyn Weber. Carolyn, you've had the awards for the books and that, but what's been the reaction by readers to Saved by Oxford and Holy is the Day?
Let's see. Overall, the reaction has been wonderful among Christians, I would say overall, which would be expected. Surprised by Oxford, Robert does get, I do get a lot of mail from people with questions, people who are seeking, even people who are antagonistic like I was, and I entirely understand where they're coming from. And so that book seems to welcome a lot of questions about the goodness of God, about where is God, about suffering, all those big questions. And I'm glad it does. You know, our God is not a fragile God. Our God can withstand those questions and I think welcomes them in terms of how we're wired to be thoughtful believers. So that book seems to really trigger a range of questions from readers and wherever they're at their walk. Holy is the Day, I think, is more meditative, hopefully, and people seem to respond a bit more to that. And I think it's also a bit more about when our faith has grown complacent or when we are uncertain of where it's going, that sort of second call to convert more deeply in our lives and to be thinking about how we are in God's presence and how we reflect that to other people. So that one's been received very graciously as well, and it tends to be a bit more of a book that looks at really trying to cultivate being in God's presence mm-hmm. in the small ways that we can make those decisions every day. And I've certainly appreciated how people have shared doing that or being moved to do that further or supporting each other in trying to do that.
We've got about a minute left. Can you quickly give me an idea? What's next on your agenda?
Oh, in 1 minute. Well, I am currently working on some children's books, which I'm really enjoying at this stage of my life, obviously. And I have about 3 other projects I'm working on simultaneously. But in general, I like to look at the intersections between literature and faith. That's always been really close to my heart, and I'd like to develop that a bit further. Mm-hmm. As well as I'm also working on a project about wisdom, which is really more for my own heart. Which could always use that research, but hopefully an outpouring to others in that. So that's where I'm at right now, is working in those areas.
And where can people find out more about yourself and your books?
Oh, thank you, Robert. They can go to my website, which is pressingsave.com, www.pressingsave, all one word, .com, or Google Carolyn Weber, and they can write to me at write@pressingsave.com as well. I always love to hear from folks.
Great. Carolyn, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much. God bless, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Carolyn Weber. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selahministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selah Ministries, email robert@selahministries.ca or follow us on Twitter @Selah13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.